Matthew chapter 7. And I would like to read a very familiar passage of Scripture where Jesus is teaching. We call this part of his ministry, the Sermon on the Mount. So Matthew 7:7, which says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." I can still remember one of the first times when I was a kid that I read this passage of Scripture. And I don't know where it was, in what context, that I was reading another version of the Bible, probably the Amplified version of the Bible. And it was made known to me. I can still see it in my mind's eye. When I was a kid, probably 16, 17, having read this passage, and being told that what it's saying is, keep asking, and it will be given to you. That those of you who know grammar, it's in the present active indicative, right? In the continuous tense, continuous present. And so he's saying, keep asking, and it will be given to you. And that stuck with me when I first read it. And it's hard for me to read this passage without reading it that way. I just don't, you know, read ask, but I read keep asking. And, of course, keep seeking, and you will find. And keep knocking, and it will be open to you. And the other image that comes to my mind about this is my kids. When they were younger, they probably each did it. I can't remember. Probably Melody was the worst. Now, let's say Bobby, he's here. He likes me to mention his name. Was the worst. But I can remember holding them, you know, when they were younger, and we'd be in conversation, you know, I don't know, in a fellowship setting. I'm talking away and holding them, you know, and they're there, and he wants to say something to me in the middle of the conversation. It's like, Dad. And I pay no attention because I'm focused on the conversation at hand, and he, Dad, again. And still I'm zeroed in and just, you know, holding him off. You'll get my attention in a minute. Finally, he will take his little hand out, reach out, grab, put it on my chin right here, and yank it towards him and say, Dad, he's got my attention. He's got my attention. He's got my attention. Just the feel of the little hand, you know? And it's like, and if I read that into this as well, when I read, ask, keep asking, you know? Dad, Dad, and then, Dad, okay. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And then he says, these amazing words, and these are amazing words. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then in typical Jesus style, he doesn't explain, he doesn't say something teaching-wise without giving an illustration or description of what he just says. And in the next paragraph he says, which of you, if your son asks him for bread, does he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, does he throw a snake on his plate? If you then, though you are evil, that is today, you parents, you dads who are self-centered, we'll say, know how to give good gifts to your children. The idea is, the rhetorical question, if your son asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. Heavens no. We want the best for our kids. Ask for a fish, a snake, are you crazy? No, we're going to give them what they're asking for. And then he makes, again, this amazing statement. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? Now, just ending it there, how much more, is something that I want to say to you this morning. We can't know how much more, but it's a lot more. A lot more. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more? And so we have it on good authority. And a good many testimony. Many of you right here, right now, could pop up and give testimony to the fact that God answers prayer. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we're here and we're huddled around your word right now, I pray, God, that something would grip us, that you would draw near by your Spirit, even as we rely upon you, Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, you're a gift given to us to teach us, that you draw near and teach us now that God answers prayer. Help us, Father. Amen. And so God answers prayer. What did I say? You know what? Let's say it together. You ready? I don't often do this. You ready, though? God answers prayer. Now I'm going to throw you a curveball. You ready? God answers my prayer. You ready? God answers my prayers. God answers prayer. That's my message this morning. God answers prayer. His reputation as our Heavenly Father, as we just read, is staked on it. You understand? He puts his reputation on the line here. He answers prayer. Of course, he says, I answer prayer. If you, as earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more I, as your Heavenly Father, give good gifts to my children? He answers prayer. Listen, God answers prayer. I think that all too often, because of our experience and because of difficulties that we face in prayer, and there are a lot of them, and it's not my intention this morning, this is not a teaching on the intricacies of prayer, and there are lots of them. But this is to say, God's reputation is intact in that he answers prayer. And all too often, as I said, because of our experience perhaps, you know, how many of you have unanswered prayer going for you? I can raise both hands. We have unanswered prayer. And staring in the face of those unanswered prayers, I say this morning, based on good authority, God answers prayer. And I also have testimony in my own life where I can recount time and again where God has answered my prayers. We tend to forget. You know, it's like bad weather when bad weather comes. And people are interviewed and they say, never had we had such weather like this before. Well, wrong. You know, in all the history of the world, we've never had a storm like this before. Wrong. You're wrong. You know, just check the history books. No, there have been storms like that before. And so oftentimes with us, when it comes to needing an answer to prayer, we forget. We forget. We overlook that God has answered my prayers in the past, and he answers prayer. God answers prayer. If I say it once, I'm going to say it 100 times in this message. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And I base that on who he is. He is my Heavenly Father. How can he not answer my prayer? He's my Father. And so I want to read a couple of more passages of Scripture, because this is where I want to go today. And I want to, if we get there, I hope we do, I want to pray together today. And you'll see where I'm going with this. But let me read a couple of more passages of Scripture to kind of help us ferret some things out. Just turn your page back one to chapter 6 of Matthew, all right? Because here Jesus is teaching us again on prayer. And we know this famous passage of Scripture, right? Where Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father. And it's interesting again that when he teaches us to pray, when we address God, we address him how? Father. Father. And so in this passage of Scripture in 6, he's teaching us about prayer. And I want to draw your attention to a couple things just before that and then make another point. Look at verse 7. All right, verse 7. Jesus says, okay, let's talk about prayer, Jesus says. Now, when you pray, I love this in the NIV. He says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling. Now, the idea with the babbling here is, as he goes on to say, you know, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. In other words, don't pray like people who use prayer as some kind of manipulative device to get God's attention. That if you say it long enough and hard enough and repeat it enough times, that in itself is going to carry some kind of magic to make God answer my prayers. That's babbling. You know, like the mantras that are used in certain mystical religions, right? And boy, how we have to be careful. No, he's my Father. He's my Father. Jesus says, don't pray like that. He said, and precisely he says they think because if they pray like that, they'll be heard because of their many words. You know, say it enough times, repeat it enough times, it's going to get through. You know, I got to get through. Wait a minute here. Who do we think we're dealing with here? You know, who do we think we're dealing with here? No, he's my Father that I'm speaking to. And then this amazing statement, because he says to us, don't be like them, for your heavenly Father, see it there? Your heavenly Father, watch, knows what you need before you ask him. That before I even express my need to him, he says, what kind of parent, what kind of father do you think I am? I always have your best interest in my heart. He knows what we need before we ask. What a tremendous Father. How can it be then that I need to try and twist his arm to get something out of him? Impossible. That's an impossibility with him. He's my Father. He knows before I even ask. And then he says, when you pray, pray like this. And the first words are, when we address him, we say, Father. Heavenly Father. Powerful words. Now, all right, there's that. Then let's see, Hamina, where do we want to go next? Let's see. All right, you know, let's go to John. Oh, this is an important one to go to. John 14. John 14. Are you with me? Come on. Follow me now, will you? John 14. Again, some pretty remarkable words. Jesus says to us in Matthew 7, for everyone who asks does what? Receives. Now, come on. If you're like me, your wheels are turning here. Everyone who seeks what? Everyone who knocks, the door gets open. Come on in. Wow. Watch this here. John 14. And verse 13, he says, and I will do, let's go back to 12, because then it saves me, I don't have to read this later, because he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. It's like, you talk about mind-blowing stuff. And then he says these words, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I will not, I'll think about it. I'll put you on hold, get back to you. Let me check it out. I will what? Do it. Now, taking it on face value. Once again, there are a lot of things that this conjures up that we can talk about. All those things that go into prayer. Lots of them. How do we handle unanswered prayer? How do we handle all, even here, because you know you gotta connect that to look at verse 7 of chapter 15. Because he says, here, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. You see it there, verse 7 of 15? If He says, if you remain in me and if my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So there's ifs always set up what? Always set up, huh? Conditions. So, but I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to take it on face value of what we're given here in that God answers prayer. God answers my prayer. He's my heavenly Father. He always has my best interests at heart. When I pray, I'm speaking to him as my heavenly Father. He hears me. He comes through. He comes through. God answers prayer. And so these are powerful passages of Scripture. Let's look at, Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17. And I want to read something here. The context of this is pretty threatening. But Jesus makes a statement about God's house. Mark 11:17. He makes a statement about God's house, and he's actually quoting an Old Testament passage of Scripture when he makes this statement. And of all the things that we understand God's house to be, at the top of the list, we have to understand this place. In all churches, we call them what? Houses of worship, right? We have to understand them as Jesus says it right here. Mark 11:17, he says, and he taught them, as he taught them, he said, is it not written what? My house shall be called, who knows? A house of prayer. There it is. And he said, and I love this part, a house of prayer for many nations. You've heard me say this before, that there is no racial divide in Jesus. Amen. And in Jesus is the only place where the racial divide is not only eliminated, but where all races come together and are really together. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Because he says here, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, for all cultures, for all races. His house of prayer. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And so he calls it a house of prayer. Maybe we'll read some of these others as we get to them. But let me begin now to work through a couple of things with you, okay? All right, so there's good authority here that God answers prayer. Ask in my name, I will do it. And the testimonies abound how God amazingly answers prayer. And let me just say a couple of things as I get to where I want to go today, to where I want to end up today. The first is that, as I've already underlined, when we pray, we're praying to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And the idea here is that something has happened to you and me that makes God, that gives me the right to claim God as my Father. Not everybody can do that. Now, I know this might offend some of you, and this might cut cross-grain to some of your thinking, but we're not all God's children on that kind of level. Yes, God created everyone, and on that level, we're all created by God. But on the level of knowing him and on the level of knowing Christ's salvation, not everyone can claim God as their Father. In fact, Jesus, speaking to people, said, you are of your father, the devil. Can you imagine? I mean, I bet you that brought Jesus a lot of popularity when he told them that. And it probably brought Jesus a lot of popularity in their ranks. Well, they wanted to kill him. Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. People, he said that to people who thought above any other people, if God was anybody's father, he's our father. And Jesus looks them in the eye and said, you're of your father, the devil. I mean, come on, Jesus. You know, come on. How many of you read Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew? Yeah, read that book, you know. And so those of us, when we come to Christ and we're born again, immediately being introduced to Jesus takes us, and the scripture says this, he brings us to God. Remember what he said to Mary when she met him after he had risen from the dead? He said to her, well, wait a minute here. He said, be careful how you try to hold on to me, because I have a mission yet to accomplish. I'm going where? I'm going to my God and what? Your God. I'm going to where? My Father, here it is, and your Father. Wow. God's my Father. And so having that claim on him because of being born again, when I pray, I have this overwhelming sense that I am praying, really. Not to this religious, in this religious atmosphere of this God who is a part of that religious system, and it's cold and mechanical, and I put in my time because I have my needs, and I'm presenting them to him. No, I'm coming to my Father, who knows and cares beyond my imagination, whose compassion is greater than any earthly father can possibly bring to me, who has shown his compassion for me in that he gave his blood for me. He died for me. And so when I pray, all of that is in my praying. And I lay claim to him and I say, Father. Father. And I understand that in the context of any child of mine who may come to me and say, Dad, immediately, not only do you have my attention, you have all of my resources, my life is yours. And God says the same thing to me, I'm your Father. And that's how he comes. And so when I pray, I'm praying to my Father. When you pray, you're praying to your Father. Here's the next one, you ready? So, I forgot to use this important word in that whole thing. I'm praying to my Father. This was on my mind. How is it, you see, that God becomes my Father? I've been adopted. I'm adopted. Okay? I lay claim, but the spirit of adoption is in me. God says, no, you're mine. See, this is so much, all this whole thing, it's like, yeah, I found Jesus. I've come to the Lord. I've accepted Jesus. Listen, he found me. He accepted me. The whole idea, you ever been that kid that nobody picked? Cliff, I can see that now about you. You had to be the kid nobody picked. No, you take him. And then the fight goes on. You take him. No, you take him. Well, okay, if you know. And if there's girls, forgive me, but if there's girls and you're the guy, and it's like they pick a girl before you, and you really got dissed, I'm telling you. And it's like Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, no, I want you. I pick you. And by that, by Jesus picking me, guess what? Guess what? He adopted me. He chose me. Wow. Wow. And so the next one is this. I want to move along. The next one is this. When we pray to our Father. When we pray in the name of Jesus. Now, praying in the name of Jesus is not, once again, using some kind of magic formula. So we pray and we say, in Jesus' name. And we say it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we think that because of the repetition of in the name of Jesus, it's like waving a magic wand. And it's like, presto, changeo, because I did that, because I said that, I got through to God, and presto, changeo, there it is. Thank you very much, oh God. No. It's not a magic formula. There is power in the name of Jesus, even as we sang this morning, because the name of Jesus, by that name, we have been given access to lay claim on receiving a response to God, my Father, when I pray. So that when I come before him, the whole idea is, why am I able to be here laying claim to him? And God says, oh, it's because of what Jesus did. Welcome, you have access. See? It's we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. You see, we've been given that kind of open door Because I have, see, I have access to God's ear. Yeah? What a way to think about praying. I have his ear. Well, you know that expression, right? When you have somebody's ear, you know? If you got their ear, you have their attention, and everything that they have, they're going to back you with. You got their ear. I got God's ear. I have God's ear because of what Jesus has done. So in the name of Jesus has to be looked upon in that kind of way. And there is power in his name.
Yes, amen.
There's power in that. There is power in the name of Jesus. And that when we use the name of Jesus and when we pray in the name of Jesus, everything that we're saying this morning is true. God answers prayer in the name of Jesus. It's not just a matter of a formula of how Christians pray in the name of Jesus. No. We say in the name of Jesus because that gives me access to my Father. And that when he hears the name of Jesus, he stands up and takes notice, recognizes the name that has been said, and he recognizes me who has been given that name as a gift to use. And he says, I'm coming through for Rulowitz because of Jesus' name. Wow. Come on. Listen, you got to get it into your bloodstream this morning. God answers your prayers. Get it into your bloodstream. When you pray, you're praying to your Father. When you pray, you're praying in the name of Jesus, and there is power in that name. Here's the last thing that I want to just say, and this is all introduction. God help us. Where are we going today? Listen, all right? Prayer, you've heard this before. Prayer changes things. You've heard that, right? Prayer changes things. And I believe that. Prayer changes things. And here's the other, the flip side of that coin. Prayer changes me. Now, you can't have one without the other. Okay, you can't. But here's the deal with that. Prayer changes things. You see, I want to hold just as tightly onto the fact, the reality, when God answers prayer, he also changes circumstances, not only me. I hold on to tightly that the circumstances of my life, if he doesn't change them, he uses them to change me, and that's valid. But I also want to hold to the fact that when Jesus was on the boat and the storm came up and they roused him, and he woke up, and he changed their circumstances from one of a storm to one of what? Absolute calm. The storm dissipated. The circumstances changed. God help us. He changes the circumstances of our lives. Prayer changes things. And then, of course, it changes me. Right? You know, I don't mind change as long as I don't have to.
Amen!
No. It. And the awesome thing about prayer is that when we pray, he changes us. He changes us when we pray. And if anybody needs to be changed, it's my wife, Sandra. She's difficult to live with. And prayer changes us. If we don't get through everything today, it's okay. We're going to end by praying for one another. But listen, I love this little thing here that Timothy Keller, some of you know Timothy Keller, pastor of Redemption Church, Presbyterian pastor, man of God, extraordinaire, wrote a book on prayer, his most recent book. No, his recent book's on preaching, sorry, second book here, second most recent book. But he says this. He says, prayer... Okay, so I'm piggybacking on my statement, prayer changes things, prayer changes me. He says, prayer is the way to experience a powerful confidence that God is handling our lives well. It's my Father. When all this hell is going on in my life, I can have this confidence. It's my Father. He's handling things well. That our bad things will turn out for good. He's my Father. And as my Father, he's not arbitrary. He's not distant. He's not remote. He's not like the Greek gods who are constantly not only meddling in the affairs of people, but they're messing with them. You know? They're messing with them. Heavens, no. He's purposeful. So purposeful that the bad, because he's Redeemer, he's able to make good in my life. Whew. Come on, Keller. And then he goes on to say the third thing he says. So not only that our bad has turned out for good, he says, but our good things cannot be taken from us. I like that what Sandra said this morning. You know, you bury the word in your heart. There's nothing that can get it out of there. Nothing. It's there. It's there. It's there. So the good things can't be taken from us. And he says, prayer is the way to experience this powerful confidence. And he says, and then last he says, the best things are yet to come. Huh? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes me. The best things are yet to come. What a way to live. You know? This anxiousness about, you know what? Yeah, the best things are yet to come. The devil wants to say and make us believe exactly the opposite. Remember my series about believing a lie? The worst is yet to come. You've experienced this bad trauma. Tomorrow you're going to experience another one. And I'll tell you what, the devil says, don't read your horoscope, just listen to my voice. It's going to continue to get worse for you. And you talk about a lie from the pit of hell, right there it is. Because God's promise to us is the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That's his promise. Okay, now let me wrap this up. Are you ready to be wrapped up? Come on, folks. Listen, church is nothing. Our church is nothing if it's not a house of prayer. If it's not a house of prayer. There are three ways that our church, that any church, that the church is a house of prayer. Even as Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's not a political action center. It's not a shelter to provide for those in need, homeless or however. Do those things, are those things important for the church? Absolutely. And on we can go to list what the church can be doing. But she is nothing if she is not a house of prayer, first and foremost. And there are three ways in which we are noted as a house of prayer. Here's the first one. All of these we have done or will be doing here this morning. The first is this. When we worship, we are praying. That's why we worship. Worship is a form of prayer. Now, a lot of you are lying to God when you sing in worship, you know? And we sing, you know, whatever it was, you know, he breaks every chain. You know, he broke all my chains. And there you are with chains all around you. Oh, happy day, we sing. And it's like, I am so miserable right now. I can't wait to get out of here, you know? And I get that. But the point that I want to make is this. You know, David in Psalm 72, verse 20, and if anything we know about the Psalms are prayers. And he even calls them that. David calls them, Psalm 72, I think at the end of the chapter there, he calls them his prayers. And if anything we know about those prayers, they were set to music and they were used in the temple, in the church, as what? Worship songs. That's what they used for worship. And so when we worship, we are praying. When we are worshiping, there is something dynamic. There is something spiritual. There's something Holy Spiritual going on among us when we worship and addressing God. When we pray, the other way, God's God's house is a house of prayer, is that we pray together when we pray. Jesus said what? Where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, what? The one who answers your prayers is there in the midst of you. That's what he says. I'm there in your midst. Wow. Wow. You know, we're not sending out, we're, you know, it's like, you know, send out, you know, it's like, people say that, you know, pray. Because when you pray, you'll be sending out positive vibes into the atmosphere that will, you know, affect changes in, and it's like, oh, stop it. I bit my tongue. You understood what I was going to say, though, right, Rob? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, are you nuts? No. He's listening when we pray together. I love the story in Acts chapter 4. I'm not going to read it. It's Acts chapter 4 at the end of the chapter. The church is beginning. It's on a roll. And bad things start happening. And it says they came together to pray. They came together to pray. They came together to pray. And it says, when they prayed, the house in which they were sitting shook. Physically shook. They felt a vibration in the house. Now, it wasn't because there was an earthquake. It was because they were moving heaven and earth when they prayed together. And God was coming through for them. You understand what I'm saying to you? When they were praying together, they began to shake heaven and earth, and God was coming through. Listen, God answers prayer. And it says not only did the house shake, but then they began to shake. And something came into them, early believers, that must happen to us time and time again if we're going to make it like they made it. They began to shake themselves, and the word of God with boldness took hold of them. And it made them able to live the kind of Christian lives that God had called them to live. It must so happen with us. God, help us to pray together. When we come together, we're coming together to pray together. We're a house of prayer. Lastly, the other way that we're a house of prayer is that we pray for one another. We pray for one another. In James chapter 5, the middle of the chapter, middle of the end of the chapter, he says, listen, he says, then if any of you sick, he says, call for the leaders of the church, anoint them with oil, lay your hands on them, and pray for them for heaven's sake. Pray for one another. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, he said, and you shall lay your hands upon the sick, and they shall what? Recover. Jesus said, and we read it, he said, greater works than these shall you do. When I think about Jesus, and Jesus praying for people, this is how I want to end. Do you ever think about this? When you read the Gospels, one of the things that you see on almost every page is Jesus praying for someone. And you never get this thing from Jesus that it's like, oh, look at the crowd. Let me pray for the crowd. And Jesus, you know, prays for the crowd, you know, crowd of people. No, you always see in Jesus what? Up close, impersonal, praying for an individual. In dealing with up close and personal, that person. Right? Don't you see it over and over and over again? Prays for people. Crowds were brought to him, prayed for crowds, but we get this sense when he prayed, he zeroed in. We need to pray for one another. Jesus, in following Jesus' example, and Jesus passed on to us the power of his name. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. He says, greater works than these shall you do. So when I see Jesus praying for someone, and God comes through for that someone, he says, you can do this, but greater than I did. Now, one of the dimensions we understand that greaterness in is that it was localized in Jesus. Now, it's what? Disseminated throughout the body of Christ. Instead of Jesus, one person doing it, oh, how many of us can pray for someone else in his name to see God touch them and answer their prayer? Wow. Come on. It's passed on to us. Greater works, Jesus said, than these shall you do. And so as we close here this morning, I want to pray. Take time to pray. Is someone helping Sandra downstairs? Do you know? Allison? Well, maybe someone go down and see if Sandra can come up to play. I would play the keyboard, but I'm just feeling a little rusty this morning. I want to have a little music as we pray. And I want to take time before we leave today to pray for one another. To pray in his name. I don't have to be very insightful to know that we all have stuff. That we all have, as the bumper sticker says, happens. Right? We need to pray for one another. I almost called the title of my message this morning, It's Altar Call Sunday. It's Altar Call Sunday. Thank you, dear. I was going to play, but I got voted down. They said, go get you. And I hope that my message this morning has stirred in our hearts such a way, something we're going to lay hands on one another and pray for one another type of music. Thank you. In the name of, there's power in the name of Jesus, would be nice. That stirred something in you that could pray for one another. This is a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. And we don't regulate, it's like, well, when you pray, please go to the prayer room. What if, visitors come in and they see you praying? What? This is the prayer room. No, I get it. I get the time and place for that. But we need to pray for one another. And we want to, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, what you need, physical touch from God, healing. I don't know what it is, but we want to just take a moment or two to pray for you. To pray for you. And to believe that God answers prayer. Period. I know, I was thinking this morning that some of us have wayward children, wayward kids, Other situations that you have, your business or your home, stuff inside of you that needs to be brought into the light, issues with people, money issues. All right, nobody get in that line because we will be praying too long, But that we can pray in the name of Jesus, and that before we leave this place today, we'll know that God has answered prayer. I believe that today. I have stuff. I have stuff on me right now that would keep me awake at night. Whew. I got to pay a $50,000 bill here couple of weeks, and I'm afraid to look at how much money I have to pay that bill. It's like Jesus, your camp, Lord, they need, we, you know, I believe God. But I need prayer. So let's stand together in his presence.